The Book and the Wisdom, Al-Kitab wal-Hikmah. The argument goes like this. The Quran tells us Prophet Muhammad was given the Book, Al-Kitab, and the Wisdom, Al-Hikmah, and they say Al-Kitab is the Quran and Al-Hikmah is separated by Wa, and so must be something else, which they take to mean the Prophet's Sunnah. Thus using this as a Quranic justification for following the Prophet's Sunnah, which they claim is documented in traditions, e.g. Hadith, thus making those traditions a valid source of law. There are a number of assumptions in this argument. 1. Al-Kitab means the book. 2. The Kitab book refers to the Quran. 3. The conjunction wa and means a separate and distinct thing. 4. Hikmah refers to Prophet Muhammad's Sunnah. 5. This Sunnah is preserved / documented accurately. 6. This documented Sunnah is authoritative, i.e. must be obeyed. This article will address points 1 to 4, part 1. Al-Kitab means the book. Firstly, it should be noted according to traditional Muslim history, the Quran was compiled into a book after Prophet Muhammad's death. So if Al-Kitab means the book, why does the Quran regularly refer to itself as Al-Kitab when it wasn't a book at that time? Traditionalists explain this by saying even a chapter or a verse can be referred to as a book, or it is an ongoing book, or that it is preserved as a book in the guarded tablet mentioned in 8522. Some may find these explanations satisfactory. In modern Arabic, kitab often means book. However, in classical Arabic, the language of Quran, it is not necessarily the case. The verbal noun can mean he wrote or prescribed or decreed or appointed or recorded or collected it. It does not necessarily mean written down as in a physical copy. It could be but doesn't have to be. Thus, some sort of authoritative instruction may be a more apt general meaning, e.g. decree. There are many verses where translators use other than book. Here are a few examples. 2:235 and do not confirm the knot of marriage until the prescribed term, kitab, reaches its term. 9:36 number of months with God is 12 months in the kitab of God from day he created heavens and the earth, 24:33, and those who seek the writing, al-kitab, from those who possess your right hands, then give them the writing if you know in them any good, 27:28, go with my letter, kitab, this, and deliver it to them, 98:2-4a. Messenger from God reciting pages purified wherein are upright decrees, plural of kitab, 17:7, a record, kitab, which he will find unrolled, read your record, kitab. 21:100 for the day we will fold the heaven, like folding a scroll for records, plural of kitab. If it is argued kitab inherently meant something written, then it may be redundant to describe it as written or inscribed in verses 17:58, 33:6, 52:2. As a side note, people of the book is commonly taken to be the Jews Christians, but of course they do not follow a single book. According to traditionalists, the Jews have their own, and as do the Christians, so some may say using the singular book kitab doesn't quite fit. Thus far, it is not considered to be strong enough evidence to prove kitab does not mean book in the Quran, but it is sufficient to show that it has varied usage. Could be argued within context of revelation it means book, and we will check this later. Also, I personally did not find one occurrence of its many occurrences wherein it definitely meant book, but if others are aware of such, please let me know. Part 2. The Kitab refers to the Quran. Variance among translators with regard to what is Al-Kitab here when it suggests everything is recorded in Al-Kitab. Some examples are 6:38, nothing we have neglected in the Kitab from anything, 11:6, all in a clear Kitab. Most traditional exegetes say this is referring to a master record with God, 85:22, not the Quran. The following clearly shows that in the context of revelation, Al-Kitab and Al-Quran are different. 10:37, and not this, the Quran could be produced by other than God, but is a confirmation of which is between your hands and a distinguishing or detailing of the kitab, no doubt in it. The connotation of the word tafsila is to make distinct or delineate or set apart, which could suggest the Quran is a part of al-kitab. This suggestion is confirmed by the Quran elsewhere. Note the use of the partitive min, of or from, in these sample examples. 35:31, and that which we have revealed to thee of the kitab, it is the truth confirming what was between your hands, 2:174, indeed those who conceal what God has revealed of the kitab. Concept explicitly mentioned here. 3:23, have you seen those who were given a portion of the kitab? They are invited to kitab of God, that it should judge between them, also evidenced here, 43. 1 to 4 and the clear kitab. Indeed, we have made it a reading in Arabic so that you may understand. And indeed, it is in the mother of the kitab with us, surely exalted full of wisdom, 5677 to 78. Indeed, it is surely a Quran noble in a kitab well protected. Taking al-kitab as al-Quran here wouldn't make much sense. So exegetes take first occurrence of al-kitab as al-Quran and the second occurrence al-kitab, singular, to mean scriptures, plural, to make it fit. 548, and we have revealed to thee the kitab with truth, confirming what is between your hands of the kitab and a guardian over it. After mentioning various prophets, it says, 689, those are ones whom we gave them the kitab and the hukim or judgment and the prophethood, so if disbelieve in it, these then indeed we have entrusted it to a people who are not in it disbelievers. Note, despite mentioning many prophets, in traditional Islam only four other books have been given to prophets, Abraham, David, Moses, Jesus, so I assume traditionalist exegetes will claim 689 only refers to those prophets. Similarly, 381, and God took a covenant from the prophets. For what I have given you of the kitab and hikmah, then a messenger will come to you authenticating what is with you. You will believe in him and support him. Did they all receive one kitab or book? No one thinks this to my knowledge. Or did all prophets receive a book according to traditional Islam? No one thinks this to my knowledge. Tafsir Ibn Kathir says, for what I have given you of the kitab and hikmah means, if I give you the book and the hikmah. Note the if. How convenient. Part 3, the conjunction wa and means a separate and distinct thing. The following shows wa does not always mean a separate different thing. 5568, in both of them are fruit. And date palms and pomegranates, date palms and pomegranates are also fruit. 33.7, we took from the prophets their covenant and from you and Noah and Abraham and Moses and Jesus. The people mentioned are also prophets. 298, whoever is an enemy to God and his angels and his messengers and Jibreel and Mikael, then Jibreel and Mikael are also considered angels. 1587, we have given thee seven of the oft-repeated and the great Quran. Most exegetes consider seven of the oft-repeated to be chapter 1 al-Fatiha, but it is still considered part of Quran. There are likely many more examples, but the above should be sufficient to counter the traditional argument. If the argument is wa means a separate and distinct thing, then these examples weaken the al-kitab. Is al-Quran argument 15.1, these are the verses of the kitab and a clear Quran. 27.1, these are the verses of the Quran and a clear kitab. If wa means a separate and distinct thing, then use of kitab above cannot be referring to Quran, thus creating a conflict in their view. Choosing kitab equals Quran will invalidate their wa claim, and choosing wa separates distinct things will invalidate their kitab equals Quran claim. Their argument fails either way. This paired expression, al-kitab wa al-hikmah, is mentioned 9 times in Quran. 2 references are related to Jesus, and it is mentioned along with the Torah and Injil. This creates an obvious problem for traditionalists, because if they are taken as 4 separate sources, kitab plus hikmah plus Torah plus Injil, they do not teach Jesus received another scripture apart from the Injil. Traditional tafsirs try to get around this problem by inventing what's not in the Arabic. If they were to be consistent and interpret it the same way when it is used with Prophet Muhammad, it would obviously refute their position or cause other problems. Contradiction or inconsistency is a hallmark of man-made works. See the important test, Quran 482. Are all the following examples of separate revelation types? If so, what are they and how are they different? For 113, God has sent down to thee the kitab and the hikmah and taught you what you did not know. Can the above be 3 separate things? 42.52 makes it clear the messenger did not know the kitab before, thus would fall under what you did not know, proving beyond doubt the wa can be relational to what came before or as. Some put it a clarifying or specifying wa. How about the following? Are all these separate types of revelation? 285, Ramadan is that was revealed in it, the Quran, a guidance for mankind and clear proofs of the guidance and the criterion. 358, that is what we recite to you of the verses and the wise reminder. 3184, messengers from before you came with the clear signs and the Zubur and the enlightening kitab. Note, Zubur is plural. According to traditional Islam, did David come with the Zubur and the enlightening kitab, i.e. 2 separate books? Not to my knowledge. 42.17, God is the one who sent down the kitab with truth and the balance slash mizan. 21:48, we gave Musa and Aaron the criterion and a light and a reminder for the righteous. 16:1-5, call to the way of your Lord with the hikmah and the good instruction. To my knowledge, treating al-Furqan, al-Mizan, al-Zikr, etc., as separate types of revelation, as claimed for kitab and hikmah, is unheard of in traditional tafsirs. If the reader is aware of this in traditional sources, please let me know. Can clearly be seen from the above, the traditional position is weak and is inconsistent at best and contradictory at worst. 4. Al-Hikmah refers to Prophet Muhammad's Sunnah. The above argument necessitates that the wisdom or hikmah being spoken of is external to the Quran. However, the revelation itself is described as wise and having wisdom. Some examples. 17:39, that is from what was revealed to thee from your Lord of the Wisdom. 36:2, the wise Quran. 31:2, these are the verses of the wise Kitab. 3:58, that is what we recite to thee of the verses and the wise reminder. Some of the above will depend on how one interprets it, but at the very least we can say some hikmah can be found in the Quran and it is an attribute of Quran, so it's possible it could be referring to that. Hikmah is not exclusive to Prophet Muhammad, as many were given wisdom, e.g. 3:48, Jesus. 19:12, Yahya as a child. 26:83, Abraham. 28:14, Moses. 2:251 and 38:20, David. For 54, people of Abraham. 45:16, children of Israel. 31:12, Luqman. Note that traditionalists do not regard him as a prophet, e.g. C. Tafsir Ibn Kathir. Some traditionalists may claim when hikmah is used with previous prophets, it is referring to their Sunnah, e.g. Sunnah of Abraham, Sunnah of Moses, Sunnah of Jesus, etc. However, we have no evidence of this whatsoever. I have personally never read an article or heard a lecture from a traditional scholar talking about other prophets and their Sunnah, not to mention the preservation of such Sunnah, since they would presumably consider it a critical source of guidance. Quran implies anyone could be granted hikmah or wisdom. 2:269, he grants the hikmah to whom he wills, and whoever is granted the hikmah, then certainly he is granted abundant good, and none pays heed except those of understanding. Interestingly, Tafsir Ibn Kathir says hikmah here is knowledge of Quran. Others seem to imply it is knowledge or wisdom in general. Does Quran treat kitab and hikmah as separate types of revelation, either explicitly or implicitly? 2:231, remember the favors of God upon you and what is revealed to you of the kitab and the hikmah, he instructs you with it. The singular it here is masculine and refers to kitab. Note also how in this verse the addressee is plural, i.e. us, throughout. Note how it uses the singular masculine, i.e. it doesn't say he instructs you with them. This seems a critical problem for the traditionalist position. Note, it is always the singular that is used in many Quran verses. When referring to what we should follow, i.e. there is never a dual pronoun used to imply two sources. Also, the phrase Prophet Sunnah does not occur in Quran. In other words, there is no obvious support for the traditionalist position. Thoughts and discussion. Shafi died 820 CE, about 190 years after Prophet Muhammad, was the first to make this argument in his work. He was arguing against the prevalent view of the time, which was the Quran as the primary or only authority. Thus, a valid question to ask from the outset is who prior to this understood this phrasing as. Shafi argued. It is interesting to note it is a preference of Shafi and not what he was able to clearly prove. A tacit admission that it was not a strong argument. Shafi used such arguments to argue for a textual basis for law, which required altering the then definition of Sunnah by tying it exclusively to prophetic hadith reports. This had the effect of curbing the use of ijtihad, independent reasoning, qiyas, analogy, living Sunnah, precedent of the community, regional legal discretion, etc. In other words, alleged prophetic hadith became elevated and the sole channel of the Sunnah. Everything else was relegated or discredited. Shafi's work became the foundation of usul al-fiqh, legal theory, and has shaped Sunni orthodoxy ever since. Note, Shafi received significant opposition to his views during his time, which is natural since he was attempting to overturn the dominant view. His framework only became dominant after his death, when later scholars codified and taught it as orthodoxy. Most Muslims are unaware this radical change took place. So what does kitab mean? It is clear from its varied usage shown in part 1 that a more apt general meaning is authoritative instruction, e.g. decree or writ. Example definitions. Decree, an official order that usually has the force of law, an order. Writ, a form of written command in the name of an authority, a piece or body of writing. Even if the connotation of the word kitab is related to writing, there can be no doubt that God's writing is not comparable to man's writing, so whilst they may share similarities, they must be thought of differently, e.g. decree may be a more common translation when it involves God, and writ may be a more common translation when it involves man. It doesn't really matter as long as one appreciates its general meaning of authoritative instruction. The Quran strongly suggests that we have been given revelation from, i.e. a part of, Al-Kitab. Thus, Quran, Injil, Zabur, Torah, are all from the same pool of revelation source. From a big picture perspective, Al-Kitab can be something more all-encompassing, as it can contain divine law, records of deeds or everything, so can be thought of as all interaction related to God. People of the Kitab would be understood as people of the writ or decree, i.e. those who have been given access to authoritative instruction from the divine realm by way of revelation, i.e. recipients of revelation. These people are contrasted with those Ummi in 320, and say to those who were given the Kitab and the Ummiyin, have you submitted yourselves? This suggests the meaning of Ummiyin is those not given the writ. However, 278 expands upon this, and among them, people of the Kitab, are Ummiyin who do not know the Kitab except by wishful thinking or desires, and they only guess assume. Thus, we can say with confidence, people of the Kitab is not just about being recipients of revelation and has more to do with being familiar with it, albeit there may be some overlap. This understanding is backed up by 3444, which shows that the Prophet's immediate community, i.e. the Ummiyin, had not studied revelation previously, i.e. they were unfamiliar or uninformed. Nor did the Prophet know about the Kitab before 4252. See also 1094. So what does hikmah mean? The most common translation for this word is wisdom, and there does not seem to be any obvious reason to doubt this meaning based on Quran's usage. Example definition, wisdom, the ability to use your knowledge and experience to make good decisions and judgments, sensible or wise thinking. Quite simply, wisdom is one of the aspects or attributes of God's revelation, just like the reminder, the balance, the criterion, etc. all are also. Note that does not necessarily mean wisdom can only be found in the Quran and nowhere else, as shown in part 4 above. God grants it to whomever He wills. Even if we were to accept this, wisdom could be described in another way as the Prophet's Sunnah or precedent. The big leap comes when it is claimed this is the only way to understand Quran and it is accurately preserved via hearsay reports, aka hadith. Traditionalists go even further and give greater significance to this man-made source, often overruling Quran. This is of course unacceptable, but we can at least see where their reasoning may come from. Even if we could trace this hikmah back to the Prophet with certainty, not all of life situations would be covered, thus we would still need to develop a framework using the Quran. This framework would naturally be flexible to some degree, and that is not necessarily a bad thing. It can be a blessing. What if this hikmah component of revelation was never meant to be in a fixed form? A universal message to mankind is timeless. The way I see it, Al-Kitab is to do with what is revealed to us via scripture, whilst Al-Hikmah refers to judgment or wisdom, a correct way of thinking. That is why Al-Quran is not simply a long list of rules or regulations, because if it attempted to cover every situation, there would be an endless list. I used to wonder why Al-Quran had so much content not dedicated to rules or regulations. At first to me it seemed unnecessary, but I soon realized the genius of it. By providing lessons, insights, wisdom, reasoning behind the commands, examples, a message within the stories it relates, asking us questions, it provides us with a sound framework within which to base our judgment on. This is key. It is this that equips us to deal with any situation not explicitly mentioned in Al-Quran. This is used all the time in real life. For example, the story about the boy who cried wolf. If one read it literally and never thought about the story, all they would get is the Al-Kitab part, but if they reflect upon and learn the lessons within the story, they will grasp the Al-Hikmah part. Thus, as you can see, an information source can have both components. Any other explanation would be more speculative. Islamic scholarship, interpretative arguments are, and speculative, open to probability and debate, whereas contradictions or theological impossibilities yield kat, i.e., decisive knowledge. The former invite interpretation, the latter can provide certainty, reflecting a difference in epistemic hierarchy. It is interesting to note that according to traditional Muslim history, the earliest generations before Shafi seem to have understood this understanding of kitab and hikmah and utilized the Quran, the Sunnah or precedent of the Prophet, as well as the companions, early caliphs, earlier scholars, and ray reasoned opinion, their own ijtihad reasoned understanding, in their decision-making, governance, and legal rulings. Jurists frequently used a combination of Quran plus Sunnah plus intellect plus analogy plus istisan or preference plus maslaha or public good plus urf or custom. In fact, this was very common. Imam Abu Hanifa was famous for his very limited use of hadith and was frequently called a hadith rejector. Imam Malik, considered one of, if not the greatest hadith scholars of all time, was known for not accepting so-called Sahih hadith in favor of Quran, reason, and the amal practice of Medina. The heavy reliance on alleged prophetic reports was not as common as it is after Shafi. There was an evolution towards hadith reliance as time went on. This is fact. Many Muslims are unaware of this expression that I think is quite fitting to this understanding of al-kitab wal-hikmah. Can be found in 548, and we have sent down to you the kitab with the truth, confirming what is between your hands of the kitab and as a guardian over it. So judge between them by what God has sent down, and do not follow their desires from what has come to you of the truth. For each of you we have made a law or ordainment and an open way or method, and if God had willed, he would have made you all one nation, but he tests you with what he has given you. So race to do good. To God you will return all of you, and he will inform you regarding that in which you dispute. This also alludes to the fact that there will be variance when it comes to understanding and application of revelation, but this is not necessarily a negative. It can be seen as a test, and whenever there is variance or disagreement, the Quran often recommends to compete with one another in racing to the good, e.g. 2148 or 3114, and God will bring us all together. In this is surely a lesson of wisdom for us. End note. When we utilize the Quran itself to explain itself, we often find understandings that fit much better than traditionalist explanations. This was made clear to me in my first book, which I strongly recommend reading, titled Wife Beating in Islam? The Quran Strikes Back. Read online for free. All praise is due to God. May God guide us all to his straight path. Read more at QuranversusHadith.com.